This is Fresh Air.
Hold it!
Please, man.
I want to get one thing straight here. I don't work on January the 8th, because that's Elvis's birthday.
That was Gary Busey in the 1983 movie DC Cab. While Elvis would have been 57 years old today, coming up, Ed Ward pays tribute to Presley's originality. But first, we put Gary Busey to work. Hollywood movies about rock and roll legends are more often than not disappointing. But when Gary Busey starred in the Buddy Holly story, his performance captured something of Holly's originality and energy. It was Busey's first starring role, and it earned him Academy Award and Golden Globe nominations, as well as Best Actor of the Year from the National Society of Film Critics. He went on to star with Robbie Robertson of The Band in Carney, and with country music star Willie Nelson in Barbarossa. His most commercially successful film was Lethal Weapon, in which he played the nearly invincible villain Mr. Joshua. His latest role was as an undercover cop in Point Break. I spoke with him last year when Point Break was released. Busey grew up in Texas and Oklahoma. He played football, he played rock and roll, but he also performed in musicals like Bye Bye Birdie and South Pacific. Football and Bye Bye Birdie seem pretty far apart, so I figured he must have had at least two different sets of friends.
No, not at all. It was just football was the thing to do in the 50s and 60s when I grew up in Oklahoma. And my dad was an All-American football player in high school and went to the University of Arkansas on an athletic scholarship. And in high school, when I grew up, there were three kind of guys. There were the social giants, the guys who were good with women and who had cars and who had the Madras shirts and who wore English leather. I didn't have that, and I didn't consider myself good looking. I had a big silver tooth and a mouthful of braces. I looked like a Corvette coming at you on Friday night. So I wasn't a social giant. The second guys, they were the hoods. They were the car bugs. They were the guys with tattoos. They made their own gang fight weapons. They wore their hair in ducktails. And they did things to women in phone booths that I didn't know quite what that meant. So I wasn't the hood. The third guy was the jock, the athlete. That's where I have this immense amount of energy that I was given at birth. So I put it into athletics. And I became a football player. Well, I love to tell stories. And I love to be funny. And I love to express my energy. So therefore, I got into plays like South Pacific, like Bye Bye Birdie. I would be playing spring football in college and then go over and study Shakespeare at night and do A Midsummer Night's Dream. So it seems like an unlikely partnership, but it worked very well for me. It works very well still today.
Now, I was thumbing through one of these bios of you in contemporary theater, film, and TV. And there was a little quote in this short bio, and it said, "I was the last actor to die in Gunsmoke." Were you on the very last episode of the series?
Yeah, that was the last one they showed in March after 18 years, and they picked my show to run, myself and John Beck. And it's funny, it was the story of a bronco buster who broke the spirit of the horse, and as he was riding in the corral, the horse threw him. He got his foot caught in the stirrup, and he smashed his head against a fence post, and he died of a head injury. And since it was the last show, John Mantley, the producer of the show, came out and said, "Gary, we want you to have something to take home with you as a remembrance of being the last man to die in Gunsmoke." And I said, "What's that?" He said, "It's this." And he gave me the bench that sat in front of the Long Branch Saloon for 18 years.
No kidding. You have that?
I have that in my home, yeah.
Now, the first role I saw you in was in the Buddy Holly story. You starred as Buddy Holly. It was a terrific performance. I really enjoyed the movie. And I remember when the movie came out, reading a story about how you were discovered by the casting agent.
Well, Joy Selznick I met when I did the movie Last American Hero, where Jeff Bridges and I were brothers. And Joyce got on my side and started moving me in a managerial way, although she was a casting person. The Buddy Holly, there was a movie called Not Fade Away that was cast by Joyce 3 years before the Buddy Holly story. Not Fade Away, those people didn't have the rights to use Buddy Holly's name. So we got canceled.
What part did you have in Not Fade Away?
J.I. Allison, the drummer. So I lived with J.I. Allison for 6 months, and I heard every story about Buddy Holly there was to hear from his best friend's mouth, J.I. Well, our movie got canceled. 3 years later, the guys from Philadelphia, Freddie Bauer, Eddie Cohen, and the director, Steve Rash, from Texas, came to town. They found Joyce Selznick because they knew Joyce knew where all the Buddy Hollies were. Joyce said, "There's one guy to play this part." They said, "Who?" She said, "Gary Busey." They said, "Yeah, but he's big and he's blonde and he's not right." And Joyce said, "You must see him." "But yeah, but we got to see all these other people first." "Fine." So Joyce called me and said, "Come on in and see these people." I said, "Oh, come on. You can't make a movie about Buddy Holly. This guy is so special, and they're going to do it to playback." And she said, "No, They want to find an actor to sing. It's going to be the first musical done live. I said, what? They're going to find somebody to sing like Buddy Holly? That's stupid. They can't do that. Well, Gary, would you please do me a favor and get in here and meet these people? I said, okay. So I walked in, and I weighed 175 pounds. I was in the middle of the surfing movie, Big Wednesday. And every story they started telling me about Buddy Holly, I stopped them and said, no, that's not the way it goes. And then I would verify the truth of it. And I said, guys, I'm double parked. I wish you well on your movie. I got to go. Whoop, and I was gone. The next day, they asked me to come in and sing. And I didn't have any lyrics, and they didn't have any lyrics, so I made up nonsense syllables to It Doesn't Matter Anymore and Maybe Baby, and I got the job.
If you're just joining us, my guest is actor Gary Busey. I'm going to take a short break, and then we'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air. Gary Busey is my guest. Let me ask you about your role in Lethal Weapon. And in this movie, you were the real tough-as-nails villain. There's a fight scene at the end between you and Mel Gibson, and this is just a hand-to-hand combat kind of scene. And the fight goes on for a really long time.
Yeah.
And it would be humanly impossible for any person to take as much punishment as you're administering to each other. Did the fight ever get to seem almost funny and absurd after a certain point? You must have been shooting it a really long time.
We shot the fight five nights from 5 p.m. to 5 a.m. Mel and I trained for 6 weeks, 1.5 hours a day with four martial artists to choreograph it. Bobby Bass choreographed the fight. The martial artists choreographed the moves. Mel and I went full speed with each other at 20-second intervals, and we did it for 5 nights. And it was the most, it's one of the scariest things I've done. But and one funny thing, Mel and I never hit each other, but we came within micro inches of our faces, and we were going full speed. So we're very proud of that. And it was something we were doing in November. And it's very cold in Burbank in November, especially with those raindrops hitting you. There aren't raindrops. It's water coming out of a fire hydrant. They're about 3 inches long and about a half inch wide. And they're hitting you like bullets. And Mel and I would have to lay down in our marks, and we'd just hold on to each other, shivering until action, and then we'd go full speed. And we'd hold... He had a great method of, we'd take a tablespoon of blackstrap molasses and hold it in our mouth for 2 minutes and then swallow it and then tap on our temples real fast and take 25 vitamins. That was like every 3 hours. And that kept from the middle of your chest up to the top of your head warm.
Did you catch a cold or anything afterwards?
No. No. It's amazing. I think everyone else did, but we didn't. And we were the ones sopping wet going full speed combat.
Huh. I want to ask you about the motorcycle accident that you were in.
Good. I'm glad you are.
It was, what, late 87 or 88?
December 4th, 1988. I hit the concrete going 45 miles an hour without a helmet. And when I came out of the hospital, the California Motorcycle Association got me in front of the press and said, listen, go up there and say, you know, helmets are okay, but you believe in pro-choice. You believe in pro-choice, and helmets aren't necessary. You like to feel the wind in your hair and the rain in your face, and you like to see the sun and smell the nature, smell the trees. Go say that to the press. And I'm going, okay, fine. Well, I was still in recovery at that time. I wasn't quite in sync in my brain, and I was going through a form of dyslexia. And also the helmets, I didn't like them at that time. I couldn't see, I couldn't hear, couldn't feel the wind, and it was a blocking aspect. So I said no to helmets. Well, my girlfriend, Belinda Bauer, she was on my back about this. She said, what are you doing? You just almost knocked your brains out on the concrete, and here you're saying you don't believe in helmets. And I'm saying, I'm believing in pro-choice. I think you can wear your helmet or not wear your helmet. She said, Gary, look at all the children that are looking up to you. Look at all the people that sent you cards and mail and flowers and letters and love. And I said, yeah, I know, but finally I had a premonition. I said to myself when I was flying back from New York to L.A. with Belinda, I said, I just had a feeling. She said, what? I said, I had a feeling I got a letter. And it said, Dear Gary, Johnny loved you. He loved Lethal Weapon. He loved Buddy Holly. He loved Insignificance. He loved DC Cab. He loved everything you did. It is this, that, blah, 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 blah. And like you, Johnny didn't wear a helmet. And we're sorry to tell you Johnny's dead. And I said, my gosh, what am I doing? I don't want to get that letter. So I changed my stance. Now I'm backing the mandatory helmet law. They wear helmets when they play football. They wear helmets when they ride bicycles. They wear helmets when they steeplechase. They wear helmets when they go into construction zones. You get on a motorcycle and go 85 miles an hour down the road and you don't wear a helmet, there's only one word that equates to, and that's stupidity. So therefore, the helmet issue is very, very, very strong in my course of action these days.
What do you remember of the accident?
Nothing. I don't remember 4 weeks of my life.
Oh, really? The 4 weeks after the accident, you don't remember? You had temporary amnesia.
Mm-hmm. No, I had temporary unconsciousness. I had complete unconsciousness. I mean, I wasn't out. I was up and moving around. They kept journals on me. I know what I did, which is pretty silly. But they kept the journals, and I can read those and see what I did. I can see the vision of what I did by reading the words. I had temporary amnesia from, like, January the 8th to the end of January, when I was just kind of vague and foggy on everything.
How did you get your memory back?
I don't know. It just seemed like I woke up on January the 8th, and I had a burr haircut in my pajamas, walking around and going, what's going on? What happened? Said, you're in a motorcycle wreck. Oh, yeah? Oh, really? Oh, wow. What? I had no idea what had happened to me. I don't remember. Didn't remember.
Were you aware of your memory slowly coming back? Did it suddenly come back all at once? What was that?
No, it was a slow process. It's a very slow process. They say you go through four stations in a head trauma that's severe. The first one's agitation. That's when I would throw nurses 10 feet through the air because they didn't want them touching me. The second one is denial, where you're saying, I'm fine, let me go home, I want out of here. The third one is depression, where you go, whoa, what happened? Oh, my gosh. The fourth one is acceptance. And I didn't get to acceptance until April 15th the following year, and that was Easter. That was the day of the Christian resurrection of Jesus. And I realized what it is like to come back from the dead. So I was going, wow. So that's when I started accepting what I went through, and that's when I started externally healing with a conscious mind.
Well, I wish you the best, and I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Yeah, thank you.
Actor Gary Busey, this is Fresh Air.